have an important note for you. From here on out, you're not going to hear us using the ubiquitous term Asian carp to define the grouping of invasive fish. After we spoke with Keith, we started talking amongst ourselves about the use of the term Asian carp. It is a bit dated, inaccurate, and most certainly offensive. Here to talk more about that is Lester Graham with the Environment Report and the Michigan Radio Newsroom, and Rachel Ishikawa, Michigan Radio's podcast producer. Rachel, Lester, how you doing?
Just fine.
Good.
Hey, Lester, we should first explain that the term Asian carp is misleading. I mean, I didn't realize this wasn't a scientific term. It's a grouping of invasive species. Can you tell us about the invasive group as a whole?
Right. So there are four fish that we consider part of this group, the bighead carp, the black carp, the grass carp, the silver carp. And, you know, we in media like to have short-term labels, and so Asian carp has been used. It's used by the scientists, too. But, you know, if you're interested in specificity, you really need to look at each fish because each fish presents a different kind of threat. And I think that's important if we're going to be accurate in making sure people understand what's going on.
Hey, Rachel, this whole conversation kicked off with something you said. Can you tell more about how it lands with you when you hear somebody say that?
I mean, I think that there are social implications as well as scientific. So when we talk about invasive species, it tends to have a negative connotation. And with that, you know, if we're using a place of origin to describe an invasive species, I think it does have the potential to spur like some kind of bias against that specific place. And we can actually see that, you know, through example, you know, just looking at this past year, it's been made abundantly clear that the words that we use really do matter and have a significant social impact. So nationally, you know, this past year, we've seen hate crimes against Asian American folks spike. And it's really hard not to attribute that to some of the widespread xenophobic and anti-Asian rhetoric that's used around talking about the coronavirus. And even before that, you know, this isn't new. That the words that we use have social implications. In Michigan's own history, when jobs started moving to China, auto industry jobs, Vincent Chin in 1982 was murdered by two white auto workers who, you know, were feeling the brunt of that, of the industry globalizing. So I think that there are some direct, you know, social implications of these words.
I mean, I was pretty dismayed myself when I got to thinking about the fact that I would never say China flu to describe COVID, but how many times I had used the phrase Asian carp on air. Rachel, have you had to have this conversation with many people, either just people you know or colleagues, about why language is important?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, definitely with friends and family. But this all kind of spurred because of a couple years back when there were growing numbers of what were called Japanese beetles coming to the U.S. They're like ladybugs. They look like ladybugs, but they're orange.
Yeah, they love roses. I know. I had to pick off a lot of them.
Exactly. Yeah. It was in the news. It was being talked about, and I kept feeling kind of this twinge, like this anger, when hearing about it, because it was always talked about in like a negative light, and it just felt personal for some reason, which felt really strange because, you know, we're talking about these beetles. So I think that there are, yeah, that was kind of my first interaction with thinking about this in a personal way.
Sure. Lester, the phrase has become so ubiquitous when we talk about the risks posed to the Great Lakes by invasive species. Do you think listeners and readers who do care about these issues are in a place where they're ready to make a shift?
I think if they understand the issue better, you know, there's a point of irony in all of this. There has been a carp in the Great Lakes since the late 19th century. It's called the common carp, but the irony is it originated in Asia. But nobody calls it an Asian carp. It's the common carp because it is so many of them throughout the world. It's been imported to just about every a big water area because it grew fast. It was people like to eat it. People don't like it as much today as they did, say, 100 years ago, but it's everywhere, and that's why it's called common carp. And now we've got this big head carp, this black carp, this grass carp, silver carp. If you ask somebody about, I'll use the phrase Asian carp today, they're going to say, oh, the one that jumps out of the water. Well, no, they don't all jump out of the water. I mean, the big head carp and the silver carp do, because when they feel vibration in the water, they think it's a predator and they jump out. But the black carp, the grass carp, don't do that. And the grass carp, frankly, is the biggest threat to the Great Lakes. It's a voracious eater of aquatic vegetation, eats about 40% of its body weight per day. So that one's a really big concern. And the other ones are going to be their own nuisances. But the thing is, each of these fish represents a different kind of threat to the Great Lakes. And we need to understand and not lump them together.
Guys, we want to thank you for kicking off this conversation with us. And from here on out, it's invasive carp for the purposes of this show. Rachel, Lester, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much.